The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
You want some bad news, Michael?
No.
What are you asking me?
You're the guru of the gray matter. I figured if anybody had it, you'd have the answer.
I can't give you any direction.
I think I'm going to have to change this channel. I'm sorry.
You're completely wrong.
I refuse to be wrong on two calls in a row.
Tell me I'm spot on or tell me I'm crazy as I'll get out.
I have no idea.
I have a six-month-old, so we'll be raising him according to Dr. Ray.
Talk about being a winner.
So, you want my question?
He ain't making any sense.
You're absolutely right. I just needed confirmation.
So what are you going to do about it, Dawn?
I'm calling you.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
Calling me isn't doing anything about it. Because you have to decide what to do about it on the basis of what I say, which you could accept or reject or neglect. Or suspect. Very nice to have you with me. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi. Program here, The Doctor Is In, Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock Eastern Time. My compadres over there at Ave Maria Radio Studios. Andrew Kruchek, producer man, board operator. He wouldn't be so bored if he listened a little bit. And then Eric Dumont, call screamer. You can be on the program, if you wish, 877-573-7825. Not an easy number to remember. This is, though, 877-57-EQUAL. Question about something in your life, circumstances, kid, marriage, relationship, adult children, the faith. If you want to comment on a previous call, we get a lot of those. Good stuff. People have a lot of nice insights, which I steal regularly and put them in books, and I make a lot of money, and I thank you so very much for this. And do I give you credit? No. I just kind of vaguely say I'd like to thank my listening audience of 196 people at this point. It fluctuates, depending upon whether my children listen, none of whom listen, as is evidenced by the fact that several of them will text me during the program. I've only been on the air 20 years, but they'll eventually come up with the notion that their father is occupied from 1 to 2 o'clock, Monday through Friday, Eastern Time. Want to make just a couple of business announcements here. Good Lord permitting, I'm going to be heading on July 11th down to Dallas, the Guadalupe Radio Network. We've been to Dallas a couple of times to do the TV show tapings, and they've been very successful because a lot of folks come out. That's at the Glenn Beck Studios where we do it. But they're having their 16th annual Summer Speaker Series, and they've asked me to do the speaking there, which is really quite offensive. It truly is. Dave Palmer, very good friend of mine, sweet man, very competent radio person and manager. You notice the number? 16th? That means they've had, now I'm doing the math here, I don't have my calculator, but they've had 15 prior to this one, which means they've had 15 speakers prior to me, which means I'm number 16. 16. I suppose I could feel a little more comfortable if I found out who the first 15 were. But I'm trying not to take it personal. Really am not. But I am looking forward to it. So you want tickets? Go to GRN, Guadalupe Radio Network, grnonline.com. Click on the events tab. And I don't know if there's a forward slash that says our 16th choice of a speaker or not. I'm not sure about that. And I don't know if Dave's listening right now, but I know somebody there at the Dallas affiliate is. And you'll probably tell on me. Tell on me with Dave. 877-573-7825. Some of you may remember the I Love Lucy series. Very, very popular. Extremely popular. She was enormously talented comedian. I Love Lucy in the 50s. Now, I don't remember that. However, Teresa Tomeo has told me about it. She was she said she used to love to watch it in college. so she knows all about it in the 50s. Before you get mad at me, I called T this morning and I told her I was going to rip on her on the show. So I don't even know if she's listening or not. She doesn't listen. I told her, listen, T, to get some pointers a little bit. How to be more articulate and stuff on the program. But in the 50s, if you recall, Lucy and Desi had twin beds. They did not sleep in the same bed. Unlike Everybody Loves Raymond, of course, where Deborah and Raymond were always in the same bed at night. Now, one might say, why was this? Well, the censors didn't want to come across with certain kinds of morality statements that more or less reflected some of the views of the time. And one might say, well, that's puritanical. Come on. I mean, you know, a Puritan is the pejorative definition of a Puritan is that they're someone who is afraid that somebody somewhere is having a good time. And that's kind of how they attacked the sexual standards of the 50s, even into the 60s, before the sexual revolution became full flower child. As we moved through the 70s and 80s and 90s and into today, you found that the people who essentially put out entertainment, whether it's media, television, music, progressively have gotten more amoral, immoral, very much so, terribly so. They have pushed the bounds. Even so now, when you listen to, for example, political figures, it is not unusual for them to cuss and use words that never would have been used at any time, even 20 years ago, on air. Now they just do it routinely. It's an adjective. It's an adverb. It's a verb. What's my point? It's this. Fallen human nature, if it isn't guided by a moral system, progressively moves towards more moral deterioration. We now have music that is so vile, so violent, so downright scurrilous, that it's taken as not only routine, but as celebratory. So we've gone from I Love Lucy with twin beds between a marriage couple to what passes off now as entertainment. We become much more free that way, much more expressive. Some people think that's good. Yeah, we can be who we are now. We can throw off those ugly, horrible moral guidelines that just kind of suffocated us. Well, if there is a God, you can assume he knows the best way to live. You can assume when he says, looking at it this way is dangerous. Watch out going in that direction, because the repercussions will be awful. Does anybody want to argue with the surveys? With the statistics regarding marriage, regarding living together, regarding crimes of sexuality, regarding overdoses, regarding anxiety, regarding depression, regarding violence? Anybody want to argue with those statistics? They're off the charts. So as we have stretched to say we can express ourselves sexually any way we wish, these Puritans out of our living arrangements, how's it working out for you? That used to be a line of Dr. Phil. Well, how's that working out for you? God says do it this way, don't do it this way. We say, no, we'll do it our way. We'll do it the way we want. And you know, we got to throw off a lot of those, those constricting, kind of ugly sexual guidelines. Ugh. How's it going for us? People are miserable at levels far beyond anything we've ever surveyed, but they don't acknowledge some of the causes. Pornography has exploded, absolutely exploded. The internet makes it possible that probably it's safe to say the vast majority of males watch pornography. Priests will tell you. It's kind of the number one sin. Well, is pornography harmless? Is it? Some of you might recall Ted Bundy, probably one of the, I guess I hesitate to use this word, worst serial killers in our history. Bundy was responsible for dozens of murders of women. He flat out said he began with pornography. And in his understanding of that whole connection, he said, oh yeah, pretty much all the sexual crimes are related to pornography or started out with pornography or get fueled by pornography. But yeah, we can't put a grip on anything. We can't say it. We want autonomous, independent freedom. Don't stifle me. No matter how many people become victims, no matter how many marriages are destroyed, we as this culture can't say we've gone way, way too far. Way too far. I personally don't know where it's going to end. I, as a psychologist, have seen the destruction of families, of kids, of adult kids. So, given that, if God says do it this way, don't do it this way, you gotta assume he knows what he's talking about. Because our way isn't going to be good for us. 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL is the number to call. A lot of good questions up there. I ask you for your patience. I would be delighted to talk to you momentarily.
This program brought to you in part by the town of Ave Maria, Florida.
Ave Maria, a big kind of small town. A golf cart-friendly, ride-your-bike-everywhere kind of town with something for everyone. Resort-style amenities, two golf courses, shopping, and dining in our town center. With Ave Maria University and Ave Maria Catholic Church at the core of the community and a wide range of homes to meet your family's needs. Visitors are welcome. More information can be found at avemaria.com. Ave Maria, a big kind of small town.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling, 40 years of experience, 17,000 current students, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plans, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right, pretty much everything. My wife and I use Seton. Some of our children. Tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT. Over 30% higher on English and reading on the ACT. It's a rigorous program. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to setonhome.org. That is setonhome.org.
Wisconsin is always a favorite with our pilgrims, full of Catholic riches, close to home and no jet lag. Visit the National Shrine of St. Joseph and the unique Rudolph Gardens. Celebrate Mass at the only approved Marian apparition in the United States, Our Lady of Champion. The highlight is the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe with Mass and dinner with Cardinal Raymond Burke.
To learn more about your Ave Maria Radio trip, find the Ave Maria Radio Travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
Looking at a lot of very nice calls up there, and I ask you for your patience, because I would love to talk to each and every one of you. When I was 14 years old, my mother took me to the house of a woman named Rhoda Wise. That house was in the northeast end of Canton. Very familiar with the area. I grew up in Canton. And I saw a lot of the supposed miraculous happenings at the Rhoda Wise house. I heard about Nun, who at age 19 had serious, and we're not talking upset stomach belly ache type stuff. We're talking serious, life-threatening digestive issues. That nun talked to Rhoda Wise. Rhoda Wise, at that time, had said that she had been getting visits from Jesus and a little flower. Rhoda Wise told this nun, she's going to pray a novena. And this nun sat in a chair that Jesus supposedly sat in this very, very, very small hovel of a house. The nun gave her life to Christ. What was her name? Well, I'm blanking on her name. Oh, yeah. She's known as Mother Angelica. Since then, EWTN has purchased the Rhoda Wise house. It still gets pilgrims. Not like it did in the 40s. Thousands, tens of thousands went there. I saw pictures there. I was there many times with my mom. Rhoda was a stigmatist. I saw pictures of her bleeding from the hands and the head. I had occasion to explore all that. So Katrina has just heard about this, and she's wondering, what is this all about? Hi, Katrina.
Oh, hello. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Thank you.
This is my first time ever calling anyone. I've listened for a long time. I'm on a journey from being a Lutheran as a kid and converting and confirming my faith as a Catholic 23
Katrina,
years ago.
Katrina, you just messed me up.
I did.
Yes, because you said this is the first time. Do you realize the pressure that's on me right now not to screw up?
Oh, no pressure. Not at all. Not at all. I taught for a lot of years. I've been an educator, and I understand completely, sort of.
I'm still nervous.
Anyway, my question, I guess, is a good friend of my mother-in-law's, she's my friend, too. They were good friends for years after my father-in-law died 12 years ago, and this other friend, her husband's been gone even longer, and the two of them have shared a lot of time together through the years, and my mother-in-law passed last July, and it was a blessing. She's guided me a lot in my faith, this journey as a Catholic, and St. Gabriel Radio helps me a lot. I listen quite often. We're farmers and all that. We do a lot. And while I'm working, I listen. And I've learned a lot from you and a lot of the other programs on this station. But so Rita, this friend of mine, she called a week ago and asked me if I was interested in maybe going. She read something in the Magnificat a couple months ago, I believe, about Rhoda Wise, and she has a good friend who's very ill, and she feels very strongly about going to visit this place in Canton, which is a couple hours, maybe two and a half max from where we are here, and she wondered if I would go, and we're doing a Bible school program, kind of reviving something that rolled out for 10 years, and so the team of Bible school people are thinking about going, our choir group might go. We might have a whole caravan going that way. And I just was moved to ask you your opinion of this, knowing that you're familiar with Canton, and like you just said, you're familiar with Rhoda Wise. I just learned about her, and I've read about her. What's your thoughts? Do you think that would be a good thing for all of us, maybe on our journey in faith, to go over there?
Rhoda Wise, right now, there was a mass here at St. Peter's in Canton Friday. She is considered a servant of God. The Vatican is looking into all of this. She is up for causation. So
that's what I thought.
Yeah. Now, you're going to be surprised at some of the things you see there. A woman named Karen Sigler is the caretaker of the Rhoda Wise house, and she will give you many, many interesting stories and insights. You will see pictures. You will see rose petals with images in them. When I evaluated the whole situation, my conclusion was that this is either very legitimate or it had to be faked. I didn't see evidence that it was faked. So I would suggest you go. I think you'll find this, some fascinating stuff there. The church hasn't ruled either way on it. Obviously, they're very cautious in these things. Rhoda would be a private revelation that you are not required to believe as a Catholic. You don't have to believe it. But you may find that it's just another piece in your faith journey, but it helps you. And you may say, some interesting stuff here. So, yeah, if you're asking me, would I recommend you go? Yeah, go. Sure.
Good.
I don't think, well, I do not believe it's fraudulent.
Good. I've learned that there are places that, like you say, may not be as true and sincere down deep as they want you to perceive. And I was going to ask our priest his thoughts, too, before we really got the bandwagon going here, but... Let me
put it to you this way, Katrina. I've looked into it deeply. And I have, at the very worst, I would say I am perplexed about some of the things that occurred. At the very most, I would believe that God used Rhoda to bring Mother Angelica to where she is and the EWTN network where it is. If you say, I've listened to Catholic radio and I'm coming closer to my faith, well, the roots of that are Mother Angelica, who not only began the television network, but she made it so that the radio stations could have free programming. And you listen to this, and you'll be going to the place where Mother Angelica was cured of a serious juvenile disorder.
Well, that was my understanding from what I read, and I appreciate, I really do. Mother Angelica's done some wonderful things, and maybe this Rhoda Wise through the mercy of God's been able to help all this happen, as you just said. So,
all righty, my dear.
Thank
you for calling, and I feel very privileged. I was the first call. Any of these other people now will know they weren't number one.
Amen.
And you could tell them that. You can say, when you call them, you can say, you know, I called Dr. Ray first. You're not the first. You're not the first. Just tell them that, and maybe it'll help them be humble.
I'll do my due diligence.
Yeah, that a girl. Call back, okay?
Thank you.
I'll talk to you, honey.
Yep, God
Bye.
Bless you.
Bye. Yeah, I knew that call was going to be, I told Andrew and Eric that the call was going to take me all the way to the break, because there's a lot of background information on that, and there's great calls up there right now, so I ask you to be patient, because I get a chance to, in fact, pontificate. I was reading in Catholic Radio Today, you have to use the word pontificate at least once a week. Look it up.
60 on 10 with Monsignor Charles Pope.
The fourth commandment, honor your father and your mother. This commandment enjoins on us young children not only obedience to their parents and even older children, great honor for them, but also gratitude for all of our elders, teachers, employers, and leaders. It also directs citizens to a proper love of our country. So it's a rich commandment. And it also puts great requirements on those who are in those positions to be worthy of the honor that is due them. This commandment is fundamentally given to us by God because without respect for our elders, there can be no teaching, and we cannot hand on the wisdom of previous generations. This commandment is rich and it is for us. The fourth commandment, honor your father and your mother.
For more about the Ten Commandments, visit EWTNRC.com.
Why does the Catholic Church value virginity? At the heart and center of all Christian life is Christ the Lord. The Catechism tells us that our bond with Christ takes precedence over all bonds, familial or social. From the Church's very beginning, there have been men and women who have forsaken marriage to follow the Lamb wherever He leads them. Christ Himself has invited certain persons to follow Him in this way of life, for which He remains the model. Virginity for the sake of the kingdom is an unfolding of baptismal grace, a powerful sign of the supremacy of a person's bond with Christ. It is also a sign that this bond recalls that marriage is a reality of this present age, which is passing away. St. John Chrysostom puts it well, "The most excellent good is something even better than what is admitted to be good." This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Very nice to be with you. What a privilege. Come on, it really is for me to be here with you. Are you kidding me? Although sometimes it gets very stressful. My diet, Dr. Pepper, is sometimes out of reach and I have to stretch and I feel a little twinge in my shoulder. Workman's comp. I don't know if EWTN's going to cover that or not. Jeremiah from North Carolina is asking a question. Oh boy, is this a big one. This is one that the people who really, and I forget the official name for this, not the materialists, but they believe that the mind is only the brain. The brain is it. Whatever the brain does, that's the mind. There are those who say, well, no, there's something that's actually above the mind, the brain, playing on the mind, like a person would play a piano. Hey, Jeremiah, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing fine. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure, yes, sir. All right, what's the confusion here?
Well, so I know the position of the church is that we've all got a non-physical soul, and that this soul is where the intellect and the will and the rest of the mind resides. However, obviously, the brain also does a great deal. And so, and I could make this really long, but I'm trying to keep it short for a radio show. But you know, you're a psychologist, so what's your thought on what the brain actually does as opposed to what this non-material mind does? Because I'm afraid I don't fully understand how the two would interact.
Well, the church would teach, I don't know if it's an official teaching, but the view is that the two of them work together. Obviously, when the brain is damaged, as in any kind of trauma or alcohol or schizophrenia or dementia, the soul, the mind, if you want to use those interchangeably, can't play the brain all that well. It's like me trying to play a piano. I can be the greatest concert pianist in the world, but if that piano is out of tune, I'm not going to sound very good. Some of the scientific evidence that we are more than just our brain. Are you familiar with something called terminal lucidity? Do you know what that is?
I haven't heard the term, but I've got a pretty good idea of what it is based on, you know, I would assume that it's a final moment of good consciousness.
Absolutely. It's not necessarily final. It can be within hours of death or even within days of death. And it can even be among those people who never, ever, from beginning, from birth, ever showed any kind of brain consciousness. None, zero, zip, nada. And we have documented cases that all of a sudden they became completely lucid and clear. It didn't last forever, last for minutes, can maybe last for an hour. But how do you explain this? That brain should have long since been damaged beyond repair. So that's the first thing. Near-death experiences, where we have documentation of people, for example, who were blind from birth and had a near-death experience where they reported things that when they explored, they found out that's exactly where something was. How would they know that? How would they even see? They've never seen in their lives. So that's some pretty strong evidence that something is going on. Now, if you don't believe in God, if you don't believe in the soul, you got to say, well, there's just things about the brain we don't understand. And okay, you can say that. But it seems like if you're just looking objectively, you got to be puzzled. You got to say, what's this all about? I view it this way. The soul plays the brain. If the brain is working well, then the personality, the individual, comes through. If the brain is not working well, if it's drunk, if it's drug intoxicated, if it's delirious, the soul is still there, but it can't come through because the brain is malfunctioning. The materialist would say, no, the brain is all there is. There's nothing else, and the brain is the mind. Well, here's a question I always struggled with, Jeremiah. Let's say that you come to me and you say, Ray, here's a mathematical problem, and I want you to solve this problem. How is it that I direct my brain all over the place to try to solve that problem? Does my brain just sort of bounce around and come to the solution? Or is there something above my brain that allows me to tap into certain areas of my brain to solve that problem? C.S. Lewis had a wonderful analogy in his book, Miracles. He said this: if there is no power above us, in other words, we're just meat. We're sophisticated meat, but we're just meat. Then we can't know that what our brain is telling us is true, because it's just random. Nothing's guiding it. Its thoughts, its conclusion that there's nothing other than me is random. How do you know to trust it? And that was Lewis's argument. He said, if there isn't a soul granted by God, if there isn't a higher power, then our brain is simply a bunch of neurons firing off in every which way. And our thoughts, we think they're guided by something, but if there's nothing above them, they're just random. And therefore, when I say, there is no God, well, how could I trust my brain? Because that's just kind of a random concocted thought. That was Lewis's argument. So that's one more argument. He says, if you look at a play by Shakespeare and you see the letters on the page and you read about the characters, Shakespeare's not in that, but Shakespeare is the one who made that. So you have to look beyond the page, beyond the characters, to find the origin of that play. And he draws a parallel. He says, well, you got to look beyond the meat of the brain to find what makes it work. That, for me, is some of the stuff I've wrestled with. Have I overwhelmed? Have I overwhelmed you?
I didn't realize if I was still muted or not. Yeah, that helps a bit. I don't know if I'm on the air or not at this second.
You always, Jeremiah, you always were. We never muted you.
Oh, okay, sorry.
You were just in such rapt attention, that's all.
Yeah, that helps a bit. You know where I could, you said the, documentation of terminal lucidity, you know,
Yes.
Where I could, look at some of that stuff?
Absolutely. Go to Father Robert Spitzer's book, Science at the Doorstep to God. He talks about all of that and a lot of other good scientific indication that there is more than just us. Thanks, Jeremiah. I appreciate it. All right, those of you waiting patiently, you shall be, well, I was going to say rewarded, but I'm not sure that's what will happen. 877-573-7825.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
The church isn't saying throw out the baby with the bathwater. Throw out all the media. Don't use the media. What the Pope is saying that make sure that what you are doing is enabling yourself and others to encounter Christ more deeply. And you can't do that unless you reach out. You have to reach out to God first. You have to encounter Him in the Eucharist, in that personal relationship. And then you pray, you reflect, and then you go. In my book, Beyond Sunday, Becoming a 24/7 Catholic, I talk about the three M's of faith: meeting, mercy, and mission. You meet and encounter Christ. You enter into a personal relationship with Him. He gives you mercy. And then what do? You just sit there and say, oh, thanks, Jesus, see you later. No, you go out on mission exactly as the woman at the well did.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Christ is the answer. With Father John Ricardo.
John chapter 11, verses 21 to 26. This is the story of Lazarus. Lazarus has died. Lazarus is one of his best friends. Just before this passage, we hear the news that Martha and Mary send word to Jesus that the one you love is sick. And the next line in the scripture is, now because Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus, he stayed where he was. His friend's in need. He can heal. They've seen him heal before. And yet somehow, because he loves him, he stays. And Lazarus dies. And then Jesus shows up 3 days later and is greeted by Martha and Mary, who confront him with the words, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would never have died. Rather applicable for many of us in our lives. We ask the Lord to do one thing because we're certain it is what we think is best, when in fact he has something which far surpasses what we ask for. The challenge is, in waiting for that to happen, we go through very trying times, which oftentimes makes us wonder, does he really care?
You know how I know I'm getting old? I've met so many people that every new person I meet reminds me of somebody else. You know who he looks like? That's what's happening more and more. I'm actually meeting fewer and fewer people that don't look like somebody I already met. If you'd like to get on the air this last 20 minutes of the program, 877-573-7825. Rose, by any other name. Lilac, Lily, April. Hi, Rose.
Hello, Dr. A.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you for answering.
Well, now that we've shared gratitude, how can I help you?
Okay. I have someone very close to me in my life who had brain injury when he was a child, and when my mom was died, I took him in. Anyway, he's functional, very functional. He writes absolutely beautiful poetry, but I don't know if he really understands what he's writing, and he just doesn't seem to have insight into his own behaviors, and he doesn't seem to understand how to grow spiritually. Is there any way that I can help him to grow in spirituality or inside or anything?
Is he interested? Like, is he interested?
I'm not sure. I don't think he really understands what it is. And, you know, I try to get him to read different articles, but I'm not sure, because he did have a stroke last summer, and that has kind of decreased his interest.
Ask him.
I don't know.
Ask him. You got to get a sense of what he knows, what he thinks about this, if he has any questions. Got to get a sense of that. You might say something like, John, you believe in God?
Well, I don't know.
Well, how is it you don't know? What do you think?
Maybe.
You can explore it a little bit with him, Rose. Here's the, I think,
well,
the bigger... Go ahead. Go ahead.
His poetry is just beautiful. I mean, it's all prayers, you know. And it just sounds wonderful, but he'll ask me, does this sound right? You know, it's like he doesn't even understand necessarily what meaning the words, he knows they rhyme, but he doesn't necessarily understand what he's saying.
This is related a little bit to our previous call, Rose, because what is it about somebody like him who is overall developmentally delayed, but has a skill, a verbal skill, far beyond most people? What is it? How's that happening? Okay. A couple of things. You can use that as a springboard. You can say, John, you write this stuff. Do you know what it means? Does it mean you're thinking about God? What's it mean here, John? Use the poems to do a little bit of probing around in what he thinks. But Rose, I think here's the bigger question. What does God do with someone like John? Not his name, I know, I'm just using it. Does he hold him as accountable as you and me? I don't personally think so. Probably not. I think that John is going to be judged completely differently. Maybe John's lucky. Maybe John doesn't have much of a capability to willfully sin. So therefore, in so many ways, he's just gone straight to heaven. That could be, certainly. Can he grow spiritually? Well, probably within the bounds of his intellectual limits. He may not be able to at all understand the stuff you give him to read. It's just beyond him. He can't concentrate on it, or he can't digest it. So in that sense, if he's going to grow, it's going to be probably through you just kind of focusing on what he thinks, what he knows, what he's capable of understanding. You'll get a good read on that. Catholic Church has an absolutely beautiful, merciful teaching. It says we're really going to be judged by what we know, by our experiences, by all of these things that only God can sort out. You know, I'm going to be judged a lot more harsh. I don't want to say harsh, that's a bad word. I'm going to be judged a lot more detailed than some 14-year-old kid who grows up with no parents, or one parent who's a drug addict, never was taken to church, and then died when he was 14. You can't look at that and go, oh, that kid committed all kinds of wrong things. Yeah, he did. But the question is, how culpable was he? Only God knows that. And I think only God knows your friend on how responsible he is for what he knows. But it would be interesting for you to go on a journey into his head to figure it out. You willing to do it? I think you can do it.
Sure.
He probably would be most open to you because maybe you're the closest person in his life.
I'm his worst enemy. He's my brother.
I knew it was. I know you didn't say it. I knew it was somebody close. Does he live with you, Rose?
Yes.
Uh-huh. So you really know him. God bless you. How old is he?
67.
So he was developmentally delayed as a child, and he's hit an IQ limit of what, 70, 65, somewhere in there?
Yeah, I don't know, because he's so smart with words. You know, I don't know.
Okay.
He doesn't understand a lot of other things, math, and I mean he can do simple math, but I don't know.
Sure, you're looking at
he reads into political stuff all the time. I don't know.
Well,
but he's always asking.
And it may be that he doesn't think about all this much. It comes through in his poetry, but for the most part, it's the beauty of the words that he strings together, but he doesn't take it beyond that. He doesn't say, okay, what is this pointing to? You know, an ultimate reality here. So that's where you come in.
Okay. All righty. Appreciate that.
God bless
that.
You. And by the way, Rose, I was reading in the June issue of Purgatory Today where they were saying that if you have the kind of love in your soul to take care of someone that you love and related to for all those years, that's just one whole heck of a lot of time off purgatory. As a matter of fact, you probably got a lot more time. You got more time than you need, Rose. Give me some of it.
If I could, I would.
All righty. Thank you, dear. Thank you for the call.
God bless you.
You too. Bye. Tell you, some of these folks just absolutely lift my soul. Dr. Ray.
The most original Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
You need courage to stand up and be Christian, and stand up and be a real Catholic, not a divided Catholic, not one who lives by half-truths or preaches lies. Follow the Church. Follow the Magisterium. You can't go wrong.
Mother Angelica Live Classics, tonight, 8 Eastern, on EWTN Television and Radio.
This program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter.
Are you longing to hear God's voice? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian Prayer Series will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking, and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
I had to be dragged kicking and screaming to Facebook. Likewise to Instagram. My wife convinced me. My wife said, Ray, if you have something that you can offer and can help in some way for faith or living better, then you have an obligation to do it, because that's where people are listening now. And I just got a notice here from my Facebook manager, Katie. She said this post just exploded on Facebook, and it was me and Father Larry Richards talking about misconceptions in the church about divorce. She said, I had a lawn video, mowing video, where I was doing a little mow aerobics, and she said the people commented that you're rich because you have a big lawn. No, it was because we had 10 kids. Wanted to get them as far from the house as possible. Alexandra, once again, talking about all these folks who parade their kids on YouTube. Hi, Alexandra.
Hi, thanks for taking my call again. I'm so sorry for calling you so often, but
well, you waited.
Keeps coming up with questions.
You waited patiently. I mean, poor dear, you were your first call, and we got a whole bunch of others that
Well, kind of I wanted to jump on, but you waited very patiently. Thank you.
Of course. Yeah, so it's really rampant right now, parents filming their children for content. Mm-hmm. It could be something as innocent as them going to the park, to very serious situations that should really stay private. There was a mom whose kid got into an accident, and while he was on the stretcher, instead of comforting him, she has a camera in his face filming him to post to all her followers because she knows it's going to get a lot of views. And they'll post, I've seen moms post videos of their daughters saying, oh, she finally got her menstrual cycle. And of course, these kids' friends see this at school, and then, at school, they'll bully them because they know all this personal information. And the first wave of kids to be exposed like this are now coming out. Some of them are emancipating from their parents. Some of them are suing their parents for emotional abuse and physical abuse sometimes. But I just wanted your take on it.
Well, it shows you the power of... Look at me! Look at me! I saw one, and I don't know if it was manufactured or not, where a little kid, probably looked like about 5 or 6, was petting an ostrich through a fence. And the ostrich was biting the little kid's head. And whomever it was snapped a picture of this to post, as opposed to rescuing the little kid. It shows you the power of I want approval. I want recognition. I want applause. I want celebration. I want to be special. It's very powerful. We can thank the internet for bringing that out in us because it has truly exaggerated it. And so we now see, it's a psychological thing for me, I now see the power of I'm special, I'm worthy of recognition. The internet has exploded that onto the scene. Prior to that, most people lived their lives, and whatever accolades they got, for the most part, were just from family and friends in their own little social circle. Well, the internet has now made it so that I can get 2,642 people telling me how wonderful that is, or how cute my kids are, or how nice my dog is, or the fact that I did this and I'm showing you this. Everybody is now a star through the internet. The question becomes, what does that really do to your self-image? You see, Alexander, I think it hurts your self-image. Because the more you count on that to make yourself feel worthwhile, the more fragile you are. I saw a fantastic meme. It showed a couple of undertakers in a large room full of chairs. It was a funeral, and the man was in a coffin. There were two people sitting in those 100 chairs. And the one undertaker said to the other, I don't understand this. He had hundreds of friends on his YouTube page. Says it all.
Oh yeah.
Says it all.
I feel like these parents are overlooking the safety and privacy of their children for the money and attention that they get from the social media platforms.
I would think there is a small percentage doing that. I would think the majority are saying, look how wonderful our family is. Look how great my kids are. Look how sweet my kids are. Look at what we do. Look at our lives. Look at how happy we are. Yeah, it's a Facebook, Instagram, TikTok world. And trust me, I, as a psychologist, I see behind those lily white doors. And everybody has their own struggles. As one person said once, family life is messy. But you never see family messy life generally on the internet. This is my chance to be a recognized star. And who knows? maybe one of these things I'm going to put up explodes, and then I can really be famous. You're right, Alexander. Your instincts are good. They're very good. Don't lose them. Well, don't lose those instincts.
Actually, I want to say real quick, I asked my mom the other day if she listened to you while I was growing up, and she said, oh, yeah, I raised you and all your siblings according to Dr. Ray. I'm like, well, that makes a lot of sense for how I turned out.
Well, of course.
I have personally you to thank.
See this? You think you're wonderful because your mom listened to me. What? I think you're complimenting both of us, Alexandra. Thank you for the call, honey. I appreciate it. I got to run. This is Dr. A. Thanks so very much for joining me. And remember, the only walk that matters, the only being that thinks wonderful of you is our Lord.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook and Instagram. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.